You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. There are more than 200 animal shelters across California, and many are facing a growing dilemma: caring for more animals with less staff. Money doesn't seem to be the main driver, but an ongoing veterinarian shortage that escalated during the pandemic. A study this year from the San Francisco SPCA, as well as UC Davis, they looked at the shelters that have budgeted positions for veterinarians and nurses and found that more than half of those positions remain vacant, which means hundreds of thousands of shelter animals across the state don't have access to reliable veterinary care, with consequences that include overcrowding, higher instances of illness, and euthanasia. Front Street Animal Shelter in the city of Sacramento is among the sites being impacted. Dr. Victoria Smalley is Front Street's only full-time veterinarian and joins us with a closer look at the challenges. And joining us also, joining Dr. Smalley, is Dr. Kate Hurley, director of the UC Davis Corrette Shelter Medicine Program, which partnered for the study. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
So, Dr. Smalley, I want to start with you. Last week, the city of Sacramento, they published an article on its website about how Front Street Animal Shelter is adapting amid an ongoing veterinarian shortage. You are the shelter's only full-time veterinarian. When did this problem start to arise?
It started to arise shortly before I came to the shelter. I've been with the shelter for a little over a year. And before then, they had two full-time veterinarians on staff. I was originally hired to be a part of their homeless outreach program and to be the full-time veterinarian for that program. And when I started, we lost our two full-time veterinarians that were solely in the shelter.
Well, during the height of the pandemic, I mean, this was the first thought that came to mind when I took in the study as well as the article from the city. I thought pet adoptions increased, right? As
they
people
did.
Were sheltering at home, you know, social distancing, they wanted that comfort. So what has happened since then? And has that played a role in the challenges that you're facing now?
Yes, we did definitely see an increase in adoptions during the pandemic. And I think as people started going back to work full time and being recalled into the office, having a pet was no longer able to be part of their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Many people have made it work, but we do see some return to the shelter. We also see, you know, the typical puppies and kittens coming into the shelter that we've always seen. There was a large disruption in veterinary care during the pandemic because as you know, citizens, we were impacted by the stay-at-home mandates as well. And with the shortage of veterinarians, we have veterinarians retiring, leaving the profession altogether to pursue other interests. And so I think it's been this sort of storm to where we are now.
Yeah. There's a lot of dynamics at play that happened within a relatively short period of time. We're talking just over 3 years. Mm-hmm. What do vet services at your shelter, what do they look like today?
We provide all sorts of medical services. Obviously, we do the vaccines, the preventative medicine. Spays and neuters are a huge portion of what we do. I'm pretty lucky at my shelter at Front Street. We have a great support system where we're able to do more in-depth medical procedures for a lot of our shelter animals. And so doing all of those things with the shortened veterinary community, veterinary doctors and technicians, it does put a strain on us. And so we have to sort of triage. We do the most important things. We take care of emergencies. We see emergencies, you know, animals that have been hit by cars, all sort of things in the shelter. We see it all.
You know, when I was reading that article from the city, I mean, you said that Front Street is currently caring for over 700 animals. Mm-hmm. What would you like that number to be? What is a normal number?
You know, I've only been there a year. It's way above what we call capacity of care. So in our shelter, we have animals that are often doubled up in their kennels, which you would see, which isn't ideal, but we make it work. We do our best. We have wonderful support staff that help these animals to be able to be co-housed. So I'd like to get that down to single numbers in the shelter. Mm-hmm. We're also really fortunate that the majority of our animals are in foster care. And so we have two types of programs. We have basically fosters where people are just fostering an animal to get them out of the shelter, or like puppies and kittens until they grow up a little bit. And then we also have a program where you can foster an animal with the intention to adopt it. and they stay in the foster program until they can get spayed and neutered, and then the adoption takes place.
Yeah, and I can imagine that tremendously helps when it comes to capacity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah, Dr. Hurley, you're the program director for the Shelter Medicine Program at UC Davis. You know, and I was talking to Dr. Smalley at Front Street Animal Shelter about the challenges that they're facing amid a veterinarian shortage. You know, what are you seeing and hearing from other animal shelters across the state, given that, you know, you just conducted a study earlier this year?
Yeah, we're seeing the same phenomena that Dr. Smalley describes writ large across the state. We knew that there was a crisis in access to care and shelters, but I have to say we were dismayed when we understood sort of the depth and extent of it and the way that it's impacting shelter animals. We found that over 60% of shelters that have full-time positions for veterinarians have at least one unfilled position. So that's 6 out of 10 shelters driving a car with at least one wheel missing. And of course, you know, when you're missing one staff member, that puts more pressure on the remaining staff and tends to have sort of a snowball effect. And we're already seeing the harms that it's creating for shelters. 25% of shelters we surveyed weren't even able to provide sort of basic care like vaccination and parasite control and intake or care for a routine illness, like just common colds for dogs and cats. And 2/3 are unable to provide intermediate care, and that includes spay-neuter, which is required before animals can be adopted out into homes in California. So it's really having an impact on a lot of different levels. 80% of shelters were finding that their ability to support community members to keep animals safely out of the shelter were limited by just being unable to recruit veterinary staff. Mm. And almost 1/3 are finding that they're already seeing an increase in euthanasia as a result.
Yeah, what I was learning from the study and what you just laid out, you know, money isn't necessarily the biggest issue. I mean, these shelters, they have the funding, they have the resources to hire, but these positions remain vacant. Can you shed some light as to why there isn't a larger pool of veterinarians and other staff?
Well, what we're seeing in shelters is something we're seeing across the veterinary profession, and we're seeing it in other fields as well. Sort of in these post-COVID times in healthcare as well. And for anyone who's tried to get a pet in to see a veterinarian in the last few years, you may also have experienced that at your own clinic, there's limited appointments or it's hard to get a pet in to see an emergency vet. And so we're seeing just more competition for every open position. I mean, for every veterinarian available, there might be 15 or 20 positions for them to choose from. So shelters are competing for that. And also, when we see populations start to build up in shelters, that becomes daunting for veterinarians and veterinary technicians, as Dr. Smalley was describing, 700 animals in care when really there should be maybe 200 that would be more within their capacity. That, you know, again, that can create a snowball effect where that becomes a very stressful environment to work in. Veterinarians are, you know, we get into this because we love animals. And it's really hard to be in a position where you feel like you just can't provide the kind of care that you know the animals deserve. And so it's something that it's really important that we start to unravel that and create a more positive working environment for veterinary staff and all shelter staff so that we can have shelters fully staffed up so we can do the work needed to prevent animals from coming in so we can lower those populations in the shelter.
Yeah, Dr. Smalley, I mean, what Dr. Hurley just laid out, I mean, when we think about, you know, burnout, you know, especially during the pandemic, we think of frontline workers like, you know, emergency responders, you know, hospitals, teachers, veterinarians, too. I mean, the fact that you're dealing with an overwhelming load of animals to care for, that you want to care for, but you just don't have the staffing or the resources. I mean, that also must carry an emotional toll as well.
There definitely is an emotional toll. I think I've been a veterinarian for 16 years now. I've seen a lot of things in my career. And for me, I think I've definitely learned to sort of compartmentalize it. So for every win, you know, I sort of takes away the negative. And at the end of the day, I'm working for a better positive outcome for these pets. And those wins are just huge. And yeah, there are times where there's tears involved. We get attached to our shelter animals. But at the end of the day, I look forward going in every day knowing that I'm going to make a difference in a pet's life, in an adopter's life, and use that to outweigh the negative, because sometimes it's really stressful and sometimes it's just ongoing. Mm-hmm. And so you know, we look into hobbies. We take care of our mental health, which is a big thing for veterinarians. And I have the most wonderful support staff at the shelter, and they make every day a joy. So even when it's rough.
Yeah. Dr. Hurley, you also previously worked at animal shelters. And when I was reading your bio, you moved on to the UC Davis Caret Shelter Medicine Program. You were the first in the world to undertake a residency in shelter medicine. And that was back in 2001. What drew you to shelter medicine?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, I had worked in a shelter for 6 years before I went to vet school, mostly as an animal control officer. And when I was in vet school, I learned some things that were so simple and yet so transformative for the way we could have done our work in the shelter. I'll give you just one example. Every day for those 6 years, I spent hours every day cleaning the kennels to try and prevent disease, and especially a severe disease called canine parvovirus, which some of the listeners will be familiar with. That's something that can often be fatal in dogs, and especially if your dog isn't vaccinated, as the animals coming into shelters often aren't. And I learned in vet school that the disinfectant I used had been proven ineffective against parvo like 10 years earlier. And I just thought, oh my God, how can it be that this information that is known by veterinarians is not being passed along to animal shelters? There was just this disconnect between the veterinary profession and the sheltering profession. And that's why it's so heartbreaking to me to see this lack of veterinarians in shelters now, that getting involved with shelters over the last couple of decades has been so transformative for veterinarians and for sheltering. You know, the great work that it's just great work to be able to do. And it's really helpful to bring those two fields of animal care together and in alignment.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever come across a time as challenging as this as a veterinarian, Dr. Hurley? I mean, are there parallels to draw from?
I think, you know, when I was working in a shelter in the early 90s, 1,000 years ago, it was more challenging in that there were more animals coming in. Euthanasia rates were higher. But I've not found a time as challenging as this in terms of the knowing that it could be better. We've seen it be better. We know how it can be. And it's so frustrating to not be able to realize the potential that we know is there. I think there's something particularly disheartening about that.
Do you think the culture has also changed where more pet owners are seeking care for their animals more than perhaps a couple decades ago? And that maybe is contributing to a growing industry which can compete, you know, because they're competing for the same positions from a shelter to private practice.
I mean, that's a very positive spin on it. And I hope that that is part of it, that pet owners are seeking more care. But also, we know that there's an enormous pool of pet owners who don't have any access to care and never have. And when we consider serving that population, the gap between the veterinarians that there are and the amount of care that's needed becomes even more daunting.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about an ongoing veterinarian shortage at animal shelters across California and how it is impacting the care of shelter animals. I do want to devote some time to solutions. Dr. Smalley, you touched upon this in the beginning, but how is Front Street adapting to lessen the harmful impact of this vet shortage?
We are doing a few things. Right now, we're very fortunate we have a large pool of contract veterinarians or relief veterinarians that come in and they help us with the surgeries required and some of the medicine. And we have our schedule full right now, and that's a very positive thing. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. I've got a great support staff, technicians, animal care technicians, and they all want to know about the medicine. So they're able to help, you know, identify diseases in the shelter or animals that aren't doing well. So that's been the biggest thing, is having these contract vets come in and having, you know, an organization that supports that to get the things needed done.
Dr. Hurley, since this study came out earlier this year, I mean, how is it helping shape, you know, the best and the most realistic way to respond to a shortage that is impacting the quality of care and the quality of life of shelter animals?
Well, funny you should mention that. We're doing a follow-up. We're working right now on a follow-up survey and some work to think about what are some short and medium-term solutions including what education and training could we provide, perhaps, to increase the skills and efficiency of the veterinarians and staff that are working in shelters? Maybe, you know, by speeding up their spay-neuter ability, we could get more done by the same veterinarian and also help increase retention, because veterinarians and veterinary technicians love to learn. We're looking at what are the factors that lead to retention of veterinarians in shelters. Maybe there are some things that directors can do to help attract and retain talented medical staff. And also sort of looking long-term, what are some legislative and policy solutions that might support more veterinary presence in shelters as well as in communities?
Yeah, I was going to get to that, because there are two new laws that the governor signed that impact veterinary care. One of them, it allows veterinarians to provide virtual care. Do you think this will be useful? Dr. Hurley, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think that anything that we can do to increase access to veterinary care in general is going to improve the conditions in shelters, partly because it will help keep animals out of shelters. You know, sometimes a simple phone call to a veterinarian could result in treatment that would solve a problem where otherwise the pet might have ended up being surrendered to a shelter. So I think that's going to help. I think by improving the efficiency of the veterinarians that are in practice, that'll just open up more veterinarians to play additional roles potentially in shelters, and some potential direct role for telemedicine to support shelters themselves.
Dr. Smalley, how could telemedicine help you at Front Street?
So immediately what it'll do, we do have a homeless outreach program, and because we're short-staffed veterinarians, I am only able to go out once a week. So now I have technicians that are out in the field. So normally, these animals are surrendered for medical care, and I try to get to them when I can. So I think it's going to be a huge benefit for me. I'll be able to video, you know, something in the field with one of my technicians and be able to prescribe medications right then and there. It'll take away, both bills will take away the need for me to actually talk to the owner to develop a relationship with them and still be able to provide care. My technicians will be able to do that now. I'll be able to kind of be in two places at once. It won't be perfect, but it'll be a lot helpful to keep the animals that are part of our homeless population out of the shelter.
Yeah, because the second law actually allows registered vet techs that you were just talking mm-hmm. about to take on new responsibilities following the permission of a licensed veterinarian mm-hmm. like yourself. So this second law would also be useful for you at the shelter.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
And finally, I want to end with the community. You know, so many people love animals. You know, we may just have one or two or a lot more. But what can the community do in response to this issue and to, you know, what I think is a crisis? Dr. Smalley?
I think for us, one would be patience. You know, we're doing the best that we can with what we have and trying to get the animals spayed and neutered out of our shelter, trying to come up with some great ways to keep them from coming into the shelter, and just to be patient with what we are trying to accomplish, because they only see the end product. They don't see what's going on behind the scenes. And I know that some community members can get frustrated with that. And we are working so very hard just to make the lives of the shelter population more manageable and happy.
Dr. Hurley, what would you like pet owners to take away from the study and this conversation?
Yeah, as Dr. Smalley said, I think just showing a little extra kindness. These are tough times. If you've got some room in your heart, you want to bake some dog biscuits and bring them on down, maybe some chocolate chip cookies. I think those would be welcome. All the usual things, foster, volunteer, donate, adopt. But I want to mention one thing that might be surprising. Shelters are so full of big dogs right now, every shelter in California. You know, if you go to Front Street, you'll see them doubled up in kennels, and that's tough. And most of those dogs come in as strays. And most of the dogs that come in as strays don't go back to their owners, fewer than half. And so if you find a dog out and about, just doing his thing, doop-de-doo, try and see if you can find the owner without bringing it into the shelter. Even if you can give it a few hours or a day, post it on Nextdoor and social media, put some signs up, knock some doors, or be that person in your neighborhood who knows how to keep dogs out of the shelter and get them back to their owners without a trip into Front Street or another overcrowded shelter. That is a great way that community members can support shelters right now, because by keeping one big dog out of the shelter, you make room for one that really does need to come in and makes it more likely it can get the care it needs, even with the veterinary shortage that we're facing.
Dr. Hurley and Dr. Smalley, thank you so much for the conversation and the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Victoria Smalley is the veterinarian at Front Street Animal Shelter in the city of Sacramento, and Dr. Kate Hurley is the director of the UC Davis Corette Shelter Medicine Program. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.